all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. We want to welcome back to Veterans Radio today representatives from the Hispanic Veterans Leadership Alliance. We have with us today retired Rear Admiral William Rodriguez and retired Brigadier General Ricardo Aponte. Gentlemen, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for inviting us.
Well, let's start with the Rear Admiral Will Rodriguez. Will, give us the thumbnail sketch of how a nice kid like you ended up in spending 20, 30 years in the Navy?
Almost 32. Thanks, Jim. My father was a career Navy man and graduated of the Naval Academy in 54. I was born in the Portsmouth Naval Hospital, baptized on a Navy destroyer, Dad's first ship. And so I was kind of destined to go in the Navy. I took an NROTC scholarship to the Citadel in the mid-70s and was commissioned in 77. I spent 5 years as a surface warfare officer and then went to graduate school at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey and switched over to become an engineering duty officer, worked in the next 25 plus years.
Hard to do the math, isn't it?
It is. In the naval electronics, naval engineering, some shipbuilding time, and a lot of time in program management of command and control, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance systems. And I ended up retiring in 08 as the chief engineer of Space Naval Warfare Systems Command and acting program executive officer for Enterprise Information Systems. And then worked for Naval Postgraduate School for 4 years doing research development and whatnot. And in 2014, my wife and I left our wonderful daughter and now granddaughter and son-in-law in San Diego, and we moved here to the mountains of western North Carolina, in Flat Rock, North Carolina.
Well, it's beautiful country. Brigadier General Ricardo Aponte, how did a nice kid like you from Puerto Rico end up spending all that time in the Air Force?
Yes, for me, it was 34 and a half years at the University of Puerto Rico, Mayagüez campus, Astempo, and studied civil engineering. But it was a Vietnam era, and I decided that pilot training was in the future for me. So through an Air Force ROTC scholarship, I entered pilot training in 1973 and graduated a year later. Lucky for me, I became a fighter pilot, and they assigned me to the F-111 in Clovis, New Mexico. After several years and several active duty moves, I decided to leave the Air Force at the 16-year point and became an Air Force reservist. That took me all the way to 2007 when I retired as the director of engineering in innovation at U.S. Southern Command as the J7.
We could spend time with both of you in separate interviews talking about your military career and the service to the country. But we have you on today specifically to talk about Hispanic Veterans Leadership Alliance. And let me set this up for our veteran radio listeners who maybe aren't don't have the statistics at the top of their fingers here, but Hispanics make up about 18% of the population and about 17% of the military. But it drops pretty dramatically after those two broad strokes. When you get down to Hispanic DOD civilian employees, it's only 8%. When you get to Hispanic officers in the military, it's only 8%. When you get down to Hispanic senior civil service executives, it falls down to 3.3%. And really, when you get into the rarefied air of generals and admirals, it's only 1% are of Hispanic descent. So there's a real need for the Hispanic Veterans Leadership Alliance to sort of do some education, get the word out, and focus on some issues. And when we talked last, we talked about some base renaming and maybe naming some bases after Hispanic heroes that have served. But a lot's happened in the last year, and I guess I'll start with you, Admiral. Talk a little bit about some reorganization and some things that have worked that has been going on at HVLA over the last year.
Well, thank you, Jim. I came to HVLA in 2019. Right after I made Admiral, the CNO asked me to get involved with the Hispanic Affinity Group with the Navy Marine Corps Coast Guard called ANSO, the Association of Naval Service Officers. Through that, that brought me as president for 8 years and brought me into HVLA. My focus, whether it's a change or not, but my focus has been on mentoring career management and meritocracy. You know, it's very difficult, as you mentioned, to bring Americans of Hispanic descent up into the flag ranks and general officer ranks. In 1981, the Secretary of the Navy, Eduardo Hidalgo at the time, looked in his crystal ball and said, you know, in 40, 50 years, 60 years from now, we're going to have a country that's about 30% Hispanic, and we need to reflect the face of the nation in our senior officer ranks. And so, as you can surmise, it takes a good 20, 25 years to go an E1 to E9 or O1 to admiral or general. And so it takes mentoring. It takes career management. And that's, I believe, is what had been lacking in the past. And that's what has been a focus, in particular on the Navy side, which I'm very involved with some efforts that the Navy has been doing, focusing not just on recruiting, which is an issue, but primarily in the retention area. A lot of focus on retaining our talent, retaining our people, retaining them past 20 years. Because at the 20-year mark, people are jumping out, retiring, and getting good jobs in the outside world. And they're not staying in so they can be looked at for captain or colonel or admiral or general. And that's, that pool is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And so that leads to part of the problem. In fact, that may be the primary leader of the problem in our issue, that we don't have as many Hispanic, Americans of Hispanic descent in the flag officer ranks. Although I will say 2 years ago, speaking of changes, CNO Gil Day made a big effort to look really hard at those captains, colonels, captains at the 06 level, who were of Hispanic descent, and we had 6 promoted to flag officer ranks, which was just outstanding.
Well, and really,
that answers your question.
It does. And part of what's happened, you have to have this long view. You have to have this 20-year view. But certainly, mm-hmm. over the last 20 years, corporate America has become a little better at recognizing hey, these veterans have a great skill set, and B, diversity is good for our corporation. Both of those things, both of those things combined means, geez, I ought to go cherry pick some folks out of the military and bring them on, Hispanic officers, onto my team. General, talk to us a little bit about, again, the things that HVLA has been doing over the last year as it sort of focuses on this problem that the admirals described for us.
Yes, absolutely. I became president of HVLA on 1 July of this year. And with my presidency, I brought an idea that we need to focus on the four pillars that Admiral Rodriguez just mentioned: recruiting, retention, and a meritocracy. We have to focus on them, but because that's where the problem lies. The services are doing a pretty good job of recruiting. However, retention is a very, it's a failed area. Many of the airmen and officers, as they look at their future at the 5 to 10 year point, they look at their future, they look up the ceiling, the glass ceiling above them, and they don't see a Hispanic voice. Yeah. So they vote with their feet. This year, the Marine Corps did a great job recruiting Hispanics. I don't know if you know that 29% of all of their recruits were Hispanic for this fiscal year. It's an incredible number of forces that we're adding. But in the Marines, for specifics, when they look up their senior NCOs and their senior officers, they don't see their faces or their last names. And that is something that HVLA is trying to fix. And what I've done is I started a growth, HVLA growing agenda. Just yesterday, we added to our roles of general membership 10 cadets of West Point. And we're planning to do that with ROTC cadets and cadets in the other service academies. We need to get them informed so that they don't vote with their feet at the 5 or 10 year point as they're doing now, because the companies that you mentioned, Jim, are hiring, and they're hiring top quality cadets, top quality officers. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. The training that you're getting in the military and the opportunity to lead and learn how to lead and sometimes learn how to work with budgets and all kinds of other things really make you attractive in the corporate world. So it is a challenge on retention. That's an incredible recruiting number for the Marines. And I do think it's a great idea of you, as you expand HVLA to include young officers, cadets, ROTC members, because it gives them some network and some introduction to people who've made it and that they can look up to. Talk a little bit beyond expanding the membership, if you will. I understand that some memorandums of understanding have been executed with a couple of organizations. Will, you want to talk to us about that?
Yes, we have a couple of years ago, we at HVLA, we created an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, with the Association of Naval Services Officers. So we have reached out to a proven organization that has a proven program of mentoring, career management, that sort of thing. And through ONSO, which has its tentacles, if you will, it's reaching out to the Latin American Studies Group at the Naval Academy, those midshipmen who are of Hispanic descent belong there, to Los Compañeros up at the Coast Guard Academy. Now, granted, ONSO is just focused on the naval services, not the Army or the Air Force, but we are looking at the possibility of growing ONSO to the other services. And then there's also an MOU, I believe, and General Pompey, correct me if I'm wrong, with a group called the ROCs. The ROCs is formed by the Army focusing on minority efforts as well. So, and we've been working close with the Secretary of the Navy and a few other organizations. So we are reaching out in that regard. I forgot about the American Veteran Leadership Group, ALVA. We've also worked with them as well.
Rico, talk a little bit about the importance of these alliances with other groups and how under your presidency you see this helping HVLA evolve.
We need to expand our influence. It's the first thing that needs to be done, because leadership is, I've got to be honest, not listening to us. The mm-hmm. current leadership of the Department of Defense is not listening. We have an ally at the Personnel and Readiness Office with Gil Cisneros being there, but it's not enough. We need to get leaders, generals and admirals, to demand action in the personnel people that make assignments possible. Promotable assignments, promotable upper education, and other things that are required in a successful career. We'll mention the ROCs. The ROCs is an African-American civic action group. They have extremely successful in promoting their personnel in the U.S. Army, and we're trying to emulate that. There is not one up-and-coming officer in the U.S. Army that doesn't get a mentor from the ROCs. And that's what we need to do. And that's why we're growing, too, so that we can provide those mentors.
Well, you're right. You have to have, for upward mobility and promotion, you have to have the right type of career experiences, education, and continuing, you know, step up in leadership opportunities. And really, that if that gets cut off, it's like not watering the plant. The plant's going to die, and those folks aren't going to advance up to generals and admirals. I think that's what you're telling us, isn't it, Admiral?
Yes, exactly.
Rico, when you say, hey, the DOD is not listening, can you expand on that a little bit, on what you're seeing and how it's falling maybe on deaf ears?
Oh, I'll give you an example, because it comes from many different angles. You know, DOD is an incredible large organization. But I'll give you an example. The Department of the Air Force just recently announced that they have opened up a contract with historic black colleges and universities for a contract worth $60 million over 5 years. We immediately, the HVLA immediately said, wait a minute, how come only HBCU? Don't you know there's 216 capable Hispanic serving institutions in this nation? Why don't you offer the same contract to them? It took a while, but we got all the way to the chief scientist of the United States Air Force, and we discussed with her what was wrong with only aiming a $60 million contract at one minority institution. We haven't been successful. They haven't listened to us. So we're starting a process of spreading the word and see if we can convince the Department of Defense to change their tune on this particular project of university-affiliated research contracts.
Well, you have to, there's a lot of work to be done, because you have to acknowledge that HBCU, or historically black colleges and universities, have done a great job of promoting themselves as a group or an entity. You know, the last president gave them a whole lot of money for funding. There's been a lot of talk on it. Maybe it's because of voting power, I don't know, in that group. But how do you promote a better opportunity if people really aren't aware of. You got to kind of make them aware of these great historic Hispanic institutions of education.
Jim, you are hitting on a very sensitive subject here with me. I said I was president of ONSO, and I've been associated with ONSO since 2004, and now HVLA. And I will tell you this, that in the past couple decades, you know, diversity and equity and inclusion has been an important issue, and OSD, the Office of Secretary of Defense, have put out policy after policy after policy, but it has no teeth, no funding, no nothing. So what we've been relegated to do, which we've done anyway, is work hand in hand with the services. Now the services have been very open-minded about what we've been doing, and speaking for the Navy, they have, and the Coast Guard and Marine Corps, they have been very open with getting engaged with our programs, the symposiums that we've run. We have reached out from time to time to private industry for their support. We have even reached to, and Rico can, General Ponte can talk more about this, to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, because the Black Congressional Caucus is extremely engaged with ROCS and the Navy, National Navy Officer Association, which is the African American affinity group for the Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard. And so it's been difficult. It's been difficult, Jim, to get people engaged in this effort when they put out policy after policy that does nothing but collect dust on the shelf.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than that.
And it is extremely frustrating.
And some of it's PR and marketing, and that's part of what I suspect HVLA is looking at is, you know, we've right. got to get that message out in a broader sense.
Amen.
And it'd be nice if it's you could just skip to the top and DOD leadership would listen, but it may be that you've got to build it from the ground up.
But you know, I think where the meat is, the proof is in the pudding. When we can engage with our Americans of Hispanic descent in our services in mentoring them, you know, and opening doors of opportunity to them that wouldn't otherwise be opened, you know, and getting them into the job versus the job, and providing advocacy for them, giving them visibility. Because I don't know about General Ponte, but I've sat on 9 statutory promotion boards and 4 admin boards. Very fair, no discrimination. I'll be darned to find any Hispanics in those pools that we looked at. But what's happening is that today performance has become a common denominator, and we look for those discriminators that make them stand out. And that's what mentoring will help them do, is get them the advocacy and the visibility so that they do bubble to the top. Not because of their last name, not because of the color of their skin, but because of what they do.
Well, I skipped over it, but I want to focus on it. So before we run out of time, somebody doesn't go, well, you know, it's because of the last name or that they want to be promoted. General, that's not the case at all. You said right at the outset, this is about meritocracy. You've got to earn it. There has to be merit in these promotions. Am I capturing right your position?
Absolutely. Mentoring and meritocracy are the two most important parts, but we have to solve the retention issue, because who gets hired by the outside world? The top performers, the higher performers, and we need them to stay in the military. That's why you've seen success in the reserves. Yeah. People in the Air Force, they go to other lucrative jobs, leave the military, and get hired. But they stay in the reserves, and that's where they get promoted. At a time in the early 2000s, there were more Hispanic generals and admirals promoted in the reserves than there were on the active duty. And that trend is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, because less and less are getting promoted in both nowadays. But that's what we're focusing on. We're trying to make that change, and the change is going to be hard. But we're going to keep on trying.
Well, you have to keep on trying. It's so important to the country, and quite frankly, Hispanic Americans have long served and fought proudly for this country that they love. So this is, while it's only 18% of the population at the moment, it's an important 18%, and making sure everybody has their opportunity is really critical to the American approach to life. Admiral William Rodriguez and General Ricardo Ponte, I appreciate both of you again spending some time with Veterans Radio to talk about what's going on this year. Rico, maybe if you can give us the website address if people want to know more, or if there are officers out there who want to get involved in HVLA, tell us how they go about doing that.
Just go to the website and contact me directly with a login that you can easily get at the website. The website is hvlavets.org. Come join us. We need you.
And Admiral, any final words you'd like to put out here to the listening audience?
No, I think this is an important issue. But what Rico said is spot on. Please come and join us. It's not because of your last name or your color of your skin, but it's about us helping you be the best qualified candidate for promotion and command. That's how you bubble to the top.
And I want to encourage Veteran Radio listeners to go to that website, hvlavets.org, and you can just sign in and join, get their mailing list so that you get updates on Hispanic diversity and inclusion issues and what they're doing on a regular basis. So if you want to participate, just go get on the mailing list and you'll get information throughout the year. Gentlemen, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much, Jim. I'd love to do this again with you because there's so much we could talk about.
There is.
We've only scratched the very tippy top of the iceberg on this issue.
Because this is Hispanic Heritage Month, I'd like to talk a little bit about history. In 1915, the West Point graduated about 164 new second lieutenants. They call that, now in history, they call that graduation the class the stars fell on. And they do that because so many generals were promoted out of that one class. People like Omar Bradley and Dwight D. Eisenhower, both of them 5-star generals during the war. One little known fact is the first graduate 1915 class to get promoted. His name was Luis S. Esteves, the first Puerto Rican cadet ever admitted to the West Point. He made general before any of the other generals of that class were promoted, months before Eisenhower and Bradley, and he retired as a 2-star general during the war. We, on this Hispanic Heritage Month, commend the work that Luis Esteves did back in the early part of the last century. Thank you.
General, thank you for bringing that to our attention, and it's an important history to get out to others, and I'm sure surprising to most that this Puerto Rican graduate with all these other luminaries like Omar Bradley and Dwight Eisenhower, but he was promoted first to general. So thanks for bringing that to our attention.
287 cadets started that 4 years earlier. 164 graduated. 59 of them became general. That is an amazing number.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge statistics. Again, General Admiral, thank you for spending time with us here on Veterans Radio.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Jim. Have a great week.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Rico.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We would again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, VA Ann Arbor Health Care System, the Vietnam Veterans of America, Charles S. Kettles Chapter, Ann Arbor, Michigan, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423 in Ann Arbor, and the American Legion Prescorn Post 46, also in Ann Arbor. We appreciate all your support. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsor level, and continue to support keeping Veterans Radio on the air. And until next time, you are dismissed.